Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence and welcome to the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. You're sitting right now with me in my living room, looking out the back windows over the Texas Medical Center, which is one of the most, I believe, well, it's the largest employer of the entire state of Texas, and just a wonderful medical center. The Mayo Clinic is right across the street. One of the best cancer centers in the world, Texas Children's Hospital, Baylor College of Medicine, one of the best educational medical schools in the world. It's just an honor to be just a block away from the office, and I get to go in there and work every single day. But most of all, it is a blessing to be able to be with you tonight, wherever you're at, in your car, at home, or if you're at work listening on your phone, or just watching us on the computer, listening to us on the radio. We just want to welcome you to the program. And tonight's guest is going to be somebody that not only shares a wonderful story of how Christ can do wonderful things in their life, but how he can take sometimes damaged goods and create hope through those stories, through those experiences, and through that life, and be able to impact other people in such a positive and wonderful transformative way. And transformation is what it is all about, redemption and transformation. So we're going to hear about that here just shortly. If you want to get involved in the program tonight, you can get, let's see, I'm looking over here, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. Looks like we're live. My son, Curtis, up in Seattle, Washington. And hey, my son just got promoted in the United States Army. He is a first sergeant now. And I just saw that picture of him and his wife and my little granddaughter. And so congratulations to Curtis, my son. Thank you. And I'm so proud of you, and keep up the great work. I hope I got the promotion that he's got right, but I believe he's first sergeant now, so in the United States Army. So I'm proud of him. Anyway, he is running the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And if you have a comment or a question, you can go right on there right now and post that. Or you can call to the BBS radio station, and TJ will be answering the phone at 888-627-6008. And TJ, with his wonderful radio voice, will answer that phone and patch you right through to our guest and me, and you'll get to talk live with us. And I don't think we censor anybody. We don't screen anybody. If you start getting the wrong language, we may silence you for a while until you calm back down. But we don't get that many calls, so we would love to have you call in, especially if you have a question or a comment or concern about what the topic's going to be tonight. And I'll tell you what, been one of those weeks. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stress going on in life. Work seems to be, you know, the desk starts getting more buried and more buried. So I've tried to order a bigger desk so I can have more room for more of my papers. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But it just seems like things never slow down. It just continues to go over, and you know, here we are getting ready to start another week, and I can't believe we're at the end of September of 2023 already. I was clearing out my car the other day and found Christmas wrapping paper in the back, and I'm thinking, well, I might as well just leave it in there because we're getting ready for Christmas again. It won't be long, but it just seems like time just flies by. And I want to know how you're doing. Do you ever take time to just sit back, engage yourself, of, you know, the world, the fancy people that know more things than me, they'll call it, hey, you ever do self-care? It's like, well, yeah, I brush my teeth and I wash my face and take a shower once a week, whether needed or not, and those kind of things. But what do you mean self-care? Well, that's a word that therapists and counselors and people that deal with survivors and thrivers throw that out there. But sometimes we use words that people don't catch on to. It's a time to do an overhaul, to do a checkup, just to see where you're at. Most of all, for me, it's a time to be able to take a breath and just sit down and go, okay, what kind of day did I have today? Did I accomplish what I wanted to? How am I doing? How am I maintaining myself? And in that self-care, am I using mindfulness? And that's another one of those fancy words that we throw out there. Am I paying attention to what my physical, my emotional, my mental, my spiritual life is doing? Am I flying high, doing well, soaring up there with the eagles? Or am I down there on the ground in the dirt, picking up crumbs with the turkeys? And maybe am I just not being productive at all? And in that this week, I have discovered three ways to fail in life every time. And one of those ways is to blame everything on somebody else. Every time I get into a pothole or I make a mistake, instead of looking in the mirror and saying, Greg, you could do better, or instead of getting on my knees and say, Lord, help me do better, we want to blame somebody else. Well, it's that person across the hallway there at the office. If they wouldn't have acted like that, I wouldn't have responded that way, and I wouldn't have got mad and said what I was going to say or did say. So when we blame other people for our own problems, congratulations, that's the first step in failing in everything in your life. Eventually, you're going to have to put on your big boy and big girl pants and take action and take accountability for what and how you acted. One day we will be in front of our Lord and Savior and Creator. And I promise you, he's not going to call out my name, Gregory Allen Williams. And I get to go up and he said, well, I'll tell you what, you kind of slipped here. You kind of fell here. Well, it was my dad's fault because of what he did to me when I was a kid. No, my reaction to what dad did, yeah, devastated me, but the way I reacted is still up to me. I get to choose every day whether I'm going to drown in that. Am I going to get bitter in that? Am I going to soak myself in pickle juice and just become the sourest person ever? Or am I going to rise up and try to help one person? And that's all I try to do. And I got a feeling you're going to hear that from our guest tonight, that every morning she wants to help one more person. But we'll let her tell you that here just in a second. Other thing about how to fail in everything in life is to complain about everything. Just go ahead. Just go ahead and complain about everything. Complain about the traffic. Complain about when you go to McDonald's. Complain about if you go to Starbucks and the coffee wasn't hot enough, or whatever you want to do. But just complain about everything. Congratulations. You have just checked number two on how to fail. Blame everybody. Complain about everything. And the last thing, a guarantee failure, is never be grateful for anything, no matter what. Just go ahead and don't be grateful. And you're going to fail. You're going to end up being unhappy. You're going to end up looking in the mirror and going, how did I get to this place? You're going to end up out in left field and wonder, how did you get in that negative attitude? How did you get in that depressive mode? How do you get in that place to where people are avoiding you in the office? And you're meeting them in the hallway and they're kind of going, okay, there comes Greg. I want to look the other way. Those kind of maybe those three things you need to check into as we go into a new week. Are you complaining? Not taking accountability? not taking accountability for your actions and your thoughts and the way you react? Are you just always negative about everything? Nobody wants to be around that. And to be honest with you, if you have people that surround you in that inner circle of yours and they're have all three of these checked off, I would try to get a couple more positive people in your inner circle, because I believe in the transference of spirits. I believe in the transference of emotions and actions and attitudes and mentality. You ever notice you come in whistling Dixie and you're just singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and they've just been in traffic. Houston traffic's famous for this because there's construction everywhere. You can't go down one road in Houston right now without running into construction. So you might as well wake up and smell the coffee and realize it's going to take you a little longer than it ever has. And it normally takes an hour to get across the street here. It's going to take you an hour and 15 minutes. And they come in with that attitude of just being so grumpy, you wouldn't believe the traffic. And then all of a sudden, your zippity-doo-dah-day has all the air out of it, and you're in the corner with them or by the water cooler complaining along with them. Try something different this week. Try being positive. Take accountability. Look for good things and try to change somebody's life for the better. Man, that's what I learned this week. Hopefully, you can take some of those things and apply them to your life. We have an awesome guest tonight. I am really looking forward. The program Breaking the Silence isn't just about stories of bad things that happen to good people. It includes that. But when people take those events in their life and allow it to change their heart, their outlook, and the way they live life, and then to spend the rest of their life helping other people handle the same thing that you have already gone through, that's the people I want on the program, to be able to share that kind of impact. And you have tuned in on the right night, because we have somebody that is doing just that. It's Tammy Tony Butler, a sex trafficking survivor, lived experience expert, and is the founder and president. And write this down right now. We're going to tell you how to get to the webpage, but write this organization down. Reflective Spaces Ministry. It's a faith-based nonprofit organization that works directly with adults and adolescents of human traffic, those people that made it through it and need some care and comfort. She has so many initials behind her name, RNCENTCRN, and it just keeps on going. Matter of fact, her business card has to be this long just to get all those names on it. But it always excites me to get somebody else in the medical field that is out there making a difference. And she is a forensic nurse examiner. And it is an honor to have her on the program tonight. Tammy Tony Butler. Tammy, can you hear me tonight?
I can.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
It's my honor. I tell you, I actually, one of the few times I ever got a CV from a guest, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. It's almost probably 10 pages long. The experience, the expertise, the knowledge, the education is unbelievable, Tammy. And I applaud you and thank you for sharing that with me. But tell me in your own words, and I could read this, but it'd take the whole show. What do you do and why do you do it and how do you help people?
Well, I'm a sexual assault nurse examiner. I was an ER nurse almost 30 years, boots on the ground in the emergency room. And it was only when I wrote an article published in the National Library of Medicine on human trafficking that I realized what happened to me was not merely multiple childhood sexual assaults, but it was actually human trafficking. And sadly, my mother would have been considered the person that opened me up to direct harm. She had suffered her own childhood trauma and parented in survival mode. And I became the, commodity that was exchanged for rent and, those things to basically how could she survive? And so that set me on a journey to kind of discover myself. And my faith just exploded, and the Holy Spirit just did a work in me, and I just became a different person and transformed. And that CV that you have there, that is all because of Christ in my life. All of that is for Him. He opened all the doors. I'm just a mere sinner from the trailer park, and I was a mess, and I still have some junk in my trunk that he's worked through, but it's the hope and the healing that we bring to survivors on the ranch that he so graciously provided me.
You know, Tammy, you mentioned a wonderful way of putting it. I've never put it. You were the commodity that your mother rented out. That's an interesting way to put that. When did you come to the realization that it wasn't just abuse? Because it was the same thing with me. I never even thought that I was human trafficked until I had somebody on the program. And I told part of my story to them. I said, Greg, you never realize? It's like, yeah, I was for 3 years. When did you discover that? And how did you discover that it wasn't only abuse by your mom, but it was trafficking?
Well, we'll unpack that a little bit.
Okay.
Basically, human trafficking and the element of that is when it's a commercial good or service or some type of commercial sex act. And that can be a place to sleep. That can be power and influence, like elevation in a gang. That can be people are selling their children, sadly, to gain opioids, to feed their addictions. Again, to, a place to sleep. And mine was, mine had been going on for a little while. I'll back up just a little bit. My father and my mom divorced very young. My dad went over to Vietnam. He served a few tours. He came back. He wasn't the same. He divorced my mom when I was maybe 2, 3. And then that opened me up to victimization because, again, my mother had been abused. She had an alcoholic father, and she never even uttered the atrocities that happened to her. Sadly, I did lose my father to suicide. We buried him on Father's Day when I was 15. And as I lived with my mom, it was just a repetitive cycle of victimization, either with a babysitter offering free babysitting and getting access to me. And there's always a price for the free babysitting. And then with, I went to my mom and let her know what was happening with our stepfather. And her words were, how will I survive? What will I do? How will I pay the rent? I can't make it. I can't work. He provides for us, our home and everything. And so basically she turned a blind eye to what was happening and allowed me to continue to be abused for many years. My victimization began when I was in kindergarten or earlier from my memories and went on until maybe I was around 14. It was a long time. It was a long walk to that shed at the back of the wood line, that shop. And I was basically made a sex slave, and she would send me down to the shop when he got home. And she knew what was happening, but again, she needed a place to sleep, shelter, food, those things. And I just was the commercial exchange. She just turned a blind eye to it and let him.
Tammy, was you abused, you said, from kindergarten to 14?
It was many years of being, yes.
I mean, so kindergarten was probably your first memory of. It may have been even earlier than that.
Yes. And I remember there was a babysitter around the same time as him. I don't know if there was a pedophile ring. I don't know at that time. I find it a bit troublesome that I was being raped by individuals, two individuals on the same in the same span of time, and they met in the same trailer park. But I don't know. So I don't have a lot of memories, as a lot of us abuse survivors, but those are the ones that I have. And that's when I realized that there's so many people out there that don't realize there's something called familial human trafficking. And it doesn't have to be money. It's if it's a commercial sex act. And I was what got the rent paid and her a place to sleep and groceries and those things. And I had to just exchange relations with them, sexual relations, basically sexual assault. They called it child molestation, but the police asked if my mother knew. And of course, I said no. She never knew, because how do you do that? How do you choose between your parents? And if I'd said yes, they would have taken her to jail, and I would have been in a group home or a kid in in the system. And we know how many children are being trafficked out of that system and opened up to victimization. So I never told, and it was only when I wrote that article and actually, I took a Homeland Security agent for actually a beer after a presentation. I'll just be honest with you. And I asked him, I said, I have to ask you a question. I said, this happened to me, and I don't want to say it was human trafficking, but was it human trafficking? I said, and I had been presenting on human trafficking and going around, and but I didn't want to say that I was a survivor of human trafficking, because I didn't want to take away from others that had been sold on the streets or sold on, the social media platforms or anything like that. Mine was a family member. And he said to me, amazing agent with Homeland Security, he said to me, don't do that. Do you know how many people there are like you? How many parents are trading their children and selling them for sex for a carton of Marlboro, Marlboro Red cigarettes, or for drugs, or that is being exchanged. Individuals are being forced to trade sex for drugs and those things, and or a place to sleep. And he said, it's trauma. It's complex trauma, compounded, the shame, the guilt, the fear, the regret, the self-loathing. And the victims of human trafficking have PTSD at the extent of war veterans. And so that is what he wanted me to take away, that it's the pathway to healing. And we have so many similarities. We have differences, different stories, but when we come together and we do like a free Bible study group, we have a free food pantry, many different things on site that we provide. We don't charge for our services. And we realize that each survivor or thriver brings something to the conversation. If you and I sat and hung out for a while, then you would enhance my knowledge base and I would learn from you. And I tell you, my survivors that I work with, they give me so much, probably more than I give them. I mean, they really, really do.
You mentioned your mom was abused. They claim, and you probably know more about this than I do, but that it's a three generation cycle. Normally, it doesn't break until after that third generation. Which did you have any knowledge on whether her parents were involved or had any type of abuse in there? Because you said her dad was an alcoholic. Do you have any wisdom whether it was the generation before them that was involved or had abuse in their life too?
I believe that it was a perpetual cycle of abuse. I don't have a lot of those that recollection and memories, but I know that there was the same behaviors in my grandmother, from what I can remember, that I saw in my mother. And but my mother didn't really speak much, really, about anything. I mean, she just kept it all inside, and she didn't talk about some of the things that had even happened to her. But she did, I did talk to her on her deathbed and reconcile, and I told her that I was going to have to go speak about her, and I was going to have to do that, and I would have to say some things about her. And I actually educated her on what human trafficking was and how this could have been considered that, and you know, what impact that had on me. But I also, we prayed together. I forgave her, and she said to me, if you can stop this from happening, from one more family, from them being torn apart by this, from trauma and what it does to an individual, then you speak the truth. And if nothing else, then something good can come from the destruction that came to our family.
Wow. So how did you, Tammy, deal with this as an individual, mentally, spiritually, physically, all the Lees, the entire Lee family? How did that impact you, and how did you endure it, and when did you finally take the mask off, if there was ever a mask on, to even deal with it, or did you keep it hidden for years?
Well, what do? We throw ourselves into being wounded healers. We try to heal everybody else. I thought I could save everyone in the emergency room, and the chaos hid the chaos in my own life. And for a lot of years, I was just a workaholic. I mean, I just worked 60 hours plus a week, and you know, in trauma centers and different places, and you know, I just had such a savior complex, and I just tried to take the happiness from others and try to cover up the dirtiness that I felt and the shame and the guilt and the self-loathing and the negative talk and negative think that cascade that goes on in our brain. And I did that pretty well for a while, but then I started having panic attacks. You know, I would have emotional flashbacks, and I could be very mean in my language and judgmental. And I would just, I mean, I used to curse like a sailor. F you was every, you know, F word was every other word. But then I started to realize I couldn't be that way. And I always loved God, and I always would seek out, even in the hospitals, I would go to wherever there was a chapel, always. But I never felt worthy enough to approach him. I felt like I was too dirty. I was too in the mire and the muck. But I just felt peace just going in the chapel and sitting there. After a trauma, you know, on my way to the morgue or anything, whatever, I could sneak by the chapel. I'd just hide out in there. Couldn't even utter words. But then the Holy Spirit took me on a journey, and just, you know, I used to take Ambien to get sleep. I'd wash it down with a bottle of wine. I even woke up. Well, I work night shifts, so I don't know if you'd say I woke up, but it was my day off. But I got up, and it was the morning. But the first thing I thought of was, oh man, that beer, boy, that might taste good. And then, of course, I started doing the, you know, the CEQA score, the CAGE protocol, and all these things in my mind, and thinking, wait a minute. I just craved a beer, and I had lost my dad was an alcoholic, and sadly, you know, he took his life, and then my mother had addiction in her family, and I thought, oh no. And so basically the Holy Spirit took me on a journey, God, and really opened and awakened my faith. And I'm not Catholic or anything, but he took me to Ave Maria, which I live in Florida, and he took me to this Catholic university. And there was a book, and it was a Holy Sacrament book, I believe. And I was reading it, and I'm like, all right, why am I here? And it said something about Jesus being a victim. And I thought about it, and then I got up, and I went outside and sat on a beautiful bench outside. And of course, I'm an academician and I'm an author. And so I had to Google and, you know, research all that. And, you know, what do you mean Jesus is a victim? I'm not sure if I agree with that. Let me check three references. And there was a couple or one that said, yes, he was a victim, but it was the fact that he chose life, that he didn't let it define him, that he, when he died and all that was nailed to the cross, all that shame and guilt and fear and regret and all that weight of that trauma that I'd been carrying, like 50 pounds or more weight in every job interview, everything I went on, I shed all that. Because he that day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, that whisper that you just know. And he said to me, you can't continue to take that little girl with you. That little girl that all that stuff happened to, that the shame, the guilt, the fear, the regret, the yoking with the darkness is attached to. You have to leave her here, give her to me. That's why I died and you know, rose again. So you didn't have to have all that. You leave her with me and surrender, which is hard for us to do, and give up control, especially when we look at Christ or, you know, or God is a, especially Jesus is a, you know, a, to me, a male, and I had been victimized by males. So it was hard for me to make that connection. And I also used to sit in the bathroom and read my Bible and beg for it to stop. And I wondered for a lot of years where God was. So I kind of had a beef with God, right?
Right.
And so I just surrendered and he helped me say the prayer. I mean, literally the Holy Spirit interceded. And I kid you not, I was just flooded and I was different. It lifted, it broke off the shame, the guilt, the fear, the regret, all of it was gone. And I was completely transformed.
I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about that complete transformation. Excellent place to stop and take our commercial break. On the other side of this break, we're going to find out, you said the Holy Spirit took you on a journey. We're going to take that first step of that journey and keep on walking through that of the second half of this program and lead people right to hope. Don't leave. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this short minute and 17-second commercial break. Hang with us.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. I'm looking through my phone. I'm just scrolling down all the text. But we also have, you know, Katie Simpson. Katie Simpson says, you are just the sweetest lady, Tammy. And she said, you are a voice for the voiceless. And you're such an inspiration. So thank you, Katie, for posting that. But I just wanted to pass that on to you, Tammy, so you'd hear that. So when a person, because I think it was Andy Stanley, I always give him credit for this, but I'm not for sure. I was listening or reading something that he wrote. He said something about that when we have things that happen into our life and we send that demon and we try to bury it, thinking that it's gone and it'll never come back. In reality, that demon is in the basement lifting weights, and eventually he's going to come up those basement stairs. He's going to come out in an ugly way. We need to deal with it head on. Did you have that moment in time where you said you was in the bathroom reading the Bible or whatever, and where you just said, hey, I can't do this anymore?
Yes, actually. You know, and a lot of trauma survivors, you know, when we finally seek help or we get out of the situation that we're in, we've come to the realization that they're going to break us. And see, they, my abuser, the predator, he tried to break me. You know, he wanted to break my soul, my spirit, and I refused to be broken. I wasn't going to do it. I was not going to be, let the darkness overtake me. And I made a decision that I was going to, I never, a lot of people, when they get to that point, they think of suicide because they just see no way out of the weight of all of it. But I told God that day that I'm done. I'm going to go to school. And when I come home from school, I'm going to grab a weapon that was in our home. And I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it anymore, but I wasn't going to hurt myself, but I was afraid I was going to physically hurt him. And I'm a kind person. I'm a nurse. You know, we help. And I just remember begging God, no, not one more day will I do this. Will I be forced to do these horrible things? And I went to school and I got tapped on the shoulder to come out of class. I think I was about 14. And that day that I called out to God and said, that's it. I'm done. I can't do it another second. Someone had told and thought that we were, you know, being victimized. And I remember sitting in a room with a whole bunch of men in a round table, detectives, might've been a female, but it was a lot of men. And, you know, I remember being labeled as defiant and all these things, but I guess if you'd been raped that many times, you would be a defiant kid too. And so I just sat there and they asked me questions, which I'm a sexual assault nurse examiner. I know now that that was rape, but you don't get those details. You don't say those things. It's taken us years to say some of this stuff. And why they call it child molestation, it's rape. Let's be clear. And so I got out of that situation. Now, they asked me about my mother, and I did not disclose anything. She did open me up to victimization after that. But when we redirect back, which I like to take it back to the hope, and I like to take it back to being set free, I don't have it anymore. I don't have the food addiction. I mean, I've lost probably 70 pounds, 65, 70 pounds. I don't have it anymore. I don't cuss. Since the Holy Spirit filled me, I didn't have one curse word come out. And I just don't have, I sleep like a baby. I don't need any medicine. I don't do anything. I just have peace. Total peace, and he took it from me. And anyone who's watching your program who's been victimized, when I say the icky, they know he took the icky away.
Yeah,
made it better. And so there's hope. There's hope. There's healing. And my faith is what set me free. You know, we focus on mindfulness. We focus on getting in nature. I have a 10-acre parcel of land, and we have reflective spaces around where we can truly have activities to calm the amygdala, where that emotional memory is housed, and focus on resilience and positive adverse childhood experiences instead of the negative. And you know, we have a lake, you can fish, you can kayak, and we have Hope is my cow, and she's a 1,000-pound cow.
Oh, boy. Yeah, your cow is named Hope.
Yes.
It doesn't get any better than that. That's yes. Perfect.
His name, Hope. She was a rescue. She was abandoned at birth. It was a difficult birth, and she found in the woods. She lived for 3 days, and a local rancher gave her to us, and I didn't have any idea what to do with her. And I don't know if they've read my story yet, but we sold everything to follow God. I sold my sailboat, my house on the golf course. I had not one animal. I didn't know how to run a John Deere. And we moved into a little tiny home on the land, 576 square feet. And the ministry is basically run out of the land that we live on. And I had to sell my FJ Cruiser, everything. And I just said, okay, God, I surrender. You set me free. And how can we bring all the others with us? And so I've really been on his journey, become his messenger of hope, of healing. Whatever he sends me to say, and He opened all those doors. I mean, yes, I spoke at the United Nations on human trafficking, and I've been active in Congress and those things, but it's all him. I'm every door he opened. And when you put God first, everything else just kind of comes after that. And he just helps me do life. I mean, he's my best friend.
That's great. On this Reflective Spaces ministry, what is that ministry? How can people get on that website? Right now, go ahead and throw that website out there so we can write that down, because I want to make sure people get that. But then tell me more about that and what it's for.
It's www.reflectivespacesministry.com. That's www.reflectivespacesministry.com. And if you Google Tammy Tony Butler, I'll come up. I have an online presence, and I do have a blog, and my story is actually testimony is on the blog on our
Yes.
website. So just, I encourage anyone to go check that out if you're struggling with shame or guilt or fear, regret, self-loathing, anything. And I'm starting up, Reflective Hour, to where I just sort of come out and speak the truth as the Holy Spirit is giving it to me that day, and whatever is needed. And we basically are, we offer holistic services. So we have a Bible study slash group. We offer retreats for survivors of human trafficking or childhood sexual assault, trauma. And we have a tiny home on the land. We have housed a survivor that was aging out, and provided transportation for that person as they transitioned out. They had transitioned out of a local a safe house for commercially sexually exploited children. And then we took them in after they aged out, and then they've since, transferred out already. And so we did that, and we've become a retreat center for individuals to come and even stay in the tiny home now, and us pour into the survivors and let them be still on the land and just reflect. It's really quiet. It's really peaceful. And we can get so caught up in the noise, especially in this technology, world that we live in today, to where we just don't take time to stop and reflect and stop the dopamine and all this constant stimulus that's coming in. And it's in that quiet stillness that we hear that whisper of the voice of the Holy Spirit that indwells in us that accept Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And I'm a completely changed different person. I don't listen to the same music. I don't watch TV. I just follow Jesus around, and I'm sold out for him.
Now, do you still work as the forensic nurse examiner?
I did that for about 3 years, and about well, maybe a year now. It's probably been a little over a year. I had stepped away from that, and I have actually. I'm focusing now on ministry. I have a prophetic healing ministry, kind of like a deliverance ministry, but it's the Lord just shows me, and folks get set free and get healed, healing from physical ailments, healing from spiritual ailments. And so I'm really just focusing on full-time ministry and following God now, and kind of, nursing the soul, nursing the spirit, and doing the work on the land. And of course, I've we have a human trafficking textbook that's coming out next year, and we just published an article on that, and
Wait, tell me about that. I want to find out more about this human trafficking textbook. Who
yes,
would that textbook be for?
it's a human trafficking textbook. It's for we wrote the chapter for healthcare, the healthcare perspective. Yes, my team and I did, and so it's basically the healthcare approach. I also wrote the faith-based, with not just me. I mean, there was a lot of authors. The faith-based component of that, and the faith-based needs of human trafficking survivors. We also, I've built. I'm the co-founder of Nurses United Against Human Trafficking, and we built an entire learning management system platform, asynchronous format that's has protocols and has screening tools and everything all built in. It's accredited, you know, for CMEs and nursing contact hours and radiology hours, and it's on Nurses United Against Human Trafficking in our learning management system. We rolled it out into the hospitals, and it's been vetted and approved. And we also just published an article on a nationwide study for nurse education today, Dr. Francine Bonanieri and myself. So I was quite active in that space. But in full disclosure, half of the proceeds of Nurses United Against Human Trafficking go directly to our nonprofit, Reflective Spaces Ministry, so that I can provide Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs, transportation, housing, anything that the survivors need so that they can heal like I did. And so I came off the board of Nurses United Against Human Trafficking, and I'm letting Dr. Bonanieri, she's running that. And so I've wore many hats. The human trafficking textbook you asked was through Valencia College and Dr. Jeff Goltz and them, and it was criminal, I think criminal justice. So basically, it's a big collaborative effort, and we have to do a book tour starting in January, and it's out of Valencia College, and it's yeah, it's exciting. It's like the second edition of the book, and it's detailed, and a lot of colleagues assisted in the writing of the very robust healthcare chapter, which speaks on the needs, everything that the survivor needs, the holistic healing needs, the physical needs, and those things. So I kind of wear many, many hats, and right now I'm transitioning to the ministry hat, but
You
also.
know,
Go
well, one
ahead.
thing though, Tammy, I want to interrupt you there. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I want people to understand and hear, because you're a perfect example of this, that you've had life experience. So you had this childhood that was horrific. Then you had professional life experience. And then through God and His grace, He can take the trauma. He can take then your educational professional role. Then he can roll that all into something that turns out to be such a blessing to not only you made difference in other people's lives, but you're making difference in the nurses and the doctors and the textbook, and you have laid out. So God can do that just like that. So many people think that sometimes, oh, if I get to know God, He's going to have me do something completely. I'm going to be in Africa, in a tribal witness. Well, you may, but chances are He's going to use what you have already gone through and just bless it. And you're a perfect example of that. He used all of that and rolled it up in this beautiful package, and I applaud that.
Yes, he built Nurses United Against Human Trafficking. I mean, he gave us the idea. He has built it. It is his. And we go into adverse childhood experiences. We look at the intersection with human trafficking, with our neonatal abstinence syndromes, with so many things that are being missed, with our youth suicide rates. We look at the you know commercials, a sexual exploitation component, the sextortion to where these kids are taking their life. And we really unpack a lot of things. It's like 9 hours of accredited training. It is the Hallmark standard. It's approved by Texas HHS, which is important.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been vetted and approved. And
Boy,
it's
Texas HHS is unbelievable to get anything
oh,
approved, because
they
I'm a certified traffic instructor.
yes.
Oh, every word they said, you sure you want to use that word?
Yes.
It's like, well, I thought I did.
Listen,
I can't imagine doing a textbook with them approving that.
they need to be the standard for
Yes.
every state, that you have to only go through that training, you know, that they say is vetted and approved. And they were so, you know, gracious. They went, it was a process, and they approved us, and we're so grateful. And you know, we've rolled it out in some tribal hospitals and other marginalized communities, because we really have to understand the intersectionality of human trafficking. They are coming in and accessing healthcare. We are missing them. We are judging. I'm telling you because I had bias. I'm telling you in all of my years, which helped me to really help you identify someone that doesn't disclose as a victim of human trafficking, because I go into a detailed forensic exam and help you see the clues and the signs, much like if it was a myocardial infarction, you look for certain markers and things, and I break it down just like that. No one, sign or symptom, no one red flag is going to necessarily say it's human trafficking. But if you have this, and this, you need to walk yourself back, because we need to understand that we, much like in the 1980s when HIV and AIDS came out, and we knew we had to act and do something to take that from being a chronic condition to a fatal one. That's where we are now with human trafficking. Minors are coming into our emergency departments, our clinics. We are not mandatory reporting them. We are not offering them appropriate care. And the standard of care for a human trafficking victim is different than others. It's different than a rape victim. It's different than intimate partner violence. We have a complete skill set. And in our article that we published, our national study, we are showing that we are not educating on human trafficking. We cannot identify it. And quite frankly, we're negligent. And so we just put it out there because there's no excuse anymore for the healthcare community to miss these hidden victims.
I
Because
agree.
one of being a sex slave is too many. And we have to act, and we have to act now. And so we've got it. It's ready to roll out. I should say, Dr. Bonaneri, Nurses United Against Human Trafficking, and it's ready to go. And so, yes, the Lord took my mess and my lived experience, and then all of my years of an ER nurse, and then I used to, how us nurses train the doctors. We love, we work so closely together. And then I also was in medical publishing, and I helped build a publishing platform to educate that publish directly into PubMed. And so I learned what was important for physicians, plastic surgeons or cardiologists or different ones, and I was a medical editor. And so all of that went into, plus my sexual assault nurse examiner experience and how we are missing victims of human trafficking. They are sexual assaults. They are coming in. They are overdoses, and we are missing them. And all of that, plus the writing of the article in the National Library of Medicine and my international and national work with survivors of human trafficking, led me to create that product with the hand of God sprinkled all over it. And
That's
it's healing.
unbelievable. That is so great. And you're such an inspiration, Tammy. And our time is out. I'm so sorry. www.reflectivespacesministry.com. And you want to look up Tammy Toney, Toney dash Butler, Butler. And I'm sure, Tammy, they can get in touch with you right through that webpage, correct?
Yes, they can.
Yes, and I encourage you. Thank you so much for being on this program. A friend of my dear friend of mine, Vincent Dodd, that is an emergency room nurse. I hope he's listening tonight. I'm sure he got a lot of great feedback on this too. He's excited. But there's so many things you said tonight that got me all worked up. Like, yes, now's the time the medical field needs to step up to the plate and say, enough's enough. We see it, we recognize it, and we're going to address it. Pull our heads out of the sand. And start making a difference. And Tammy, you're taking the lead on that. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to come back on the program, you're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Tammy. Thank you.
Bless you.
Like we
Thank
do
you.
each and every show. I'm excited. I'm ready to go another couple hours with her. We were just getting to where we were starting to preach at each other, and I love that. But it reminds me of that old David and Goliath story. When David went and saw Goliath, he had already been trained on how to kill everything when he was protecting the sheep that he was taking care of. So when he saw Goliath, Goliath's not that big. He's so big that he can't be missed. So he was an easy target for him, and he prepared him for that challenge, for that moment in time. Tammy is a perfect example for that. So no matter tonight, if you're a drug dealer, a prostitute, you work in a strip club, you are out there homeless, you are doing things, you're in prison listening to the program tonight, you're at Harris County Jail or whatever, no matter what kind of experience you've had, you give whatever you have to God, and he will use it, and he never will waste a hurt, and he will allow that to help other people. And I just can't wait to see the impact that Tammy's already made, but going to make with this article and this textbook and this reflective ministry, reflective spaces ministry that she's having. Please reach out to her. Tammy, thank you so much for being on. Want to let you all know that no matter what, no matter where you're at, don't forget this. And Tammy already said it. There's always hope. There's always, always hope. Join us next week right here for another edition of Breaking the Silence live from Houston, Texas. Hey. Have an awesome week. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.